Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Tell us what we're fighting for.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we move now from the lavish, over-the-top spectacle that is the Beijing Olympics to something more subdued and placid, like a musical group that reimagines opera as epic rock songs. Yes, we're talking about the East Village Opera Company, a combination rock band and opera troupe that takes popular arias by Wagner, in this case, mixed with a little Led Zeppelin, Verdi, Handel, and Puccini, and makes them all sound like something you'd hear at a gritty downtown rock club. The company has just released its third album, entitled Old School, and it brings founders Peter Kiesewalter and Tylee Ross back to our studio. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having us.
Peter, opera crossover projects tend to be really cheesy affairs. How do you tread into that territory? Yes.
Cheesiness is easy to tread into. Avoiding the cheesiness is a little more difficult, but it's quite simple. We're just playing old music on new instruments. And usually when it's done or when it's been done unsuccessfully, there isn't enough respect or a balanced amount of respect for the source material and the new reference material. What a lot of classical musicians don't realize is how incredibly sophisticated rock and roll is. They think it's easy because there's three chords or something. But the other thing is combining the two different methods of making music. Classical music is generally written down.
Acoustic.
And rock music, yeah, for it to be real rock music has to be learned organically by the players. You can't put a piece of sheet music down in front of a guitar player and say, play this. So in combining the two, you have to have a balanced approach to making the music, which is taking the written, combining it with an organic approach. Otherwise, it'll sound like a Broadway pit band. no offense, but it will not be a rock band.
So when you guys, Tylee, when you guys started this project a couple of years ago, was it with the idea that, you know, there's a lot of cheesy stuff out there and we're going to try and avoid that? Or, you know, you approach it with maybe a bit more of a sense of irony and whimsy?
Well, when we first started this, we started this in 2001. And it was before really there was any, this whole classical crossover phenomenon actually came around. So we weren't competing with anything. And on top of that, we weren't actually trying to, we didn't even know we were making records or that we were going to have a band. We really were doing it because we just got a kick out of doing it. And it was a studio project and a hobby. And when we finally started playing live, we thought there would be one performance and that would be it. It was never done with any view to the future. It was just done for the purpose of taking music that we loved and playing it in the way that we best knew how.
So then why 8 years later are you still doing it?
I think it's really a testament to the audience's desire to keep hiring us, or the promoter's desire. You know, at a certain point, we had to make the decision to actually commit to this. And, you know, from that first show that we played, we had, a command repeat engagement a few weeks later, and we were on the bill as a house band at Joe's Pub. Mm-hmm. And then we had a record deal, and then we were touring all over the world. So it's kind of taken off without our approval, perhaps. and we've had to keep making records just to keep up.
Oh, poor you.
Yes.
Now, it seems, Peter, that on Old School, you guys are taking a few more liberties which is ironic given what you just said a moment ago about, you know, needing to respect the music and stuff. Yeah. I mean, The Ride, the little bit that we heard, you know, combining Led Zeppelin's Black Dog with Ride of the Valkyries from Wagner. That's a new kind of level of mucking around with the classics.
Yeah. More liberties taken for sure.
Why?
Two reasons. I thought on the last record we showed we could do an aria, even with the recit from start to finish, as it appeared in the score, just, you know, reimagined. But on this one, I really wanted to just unshackle our imaginations and do whatever we wanted to do, much like the groups that we admired from the late 60s and early 70s did when there were no rules, you know.
Groups like?
Brian Wilson, Beach Boys, The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, for that matter, The Who, all
Queen.
That, for sure. The other reason was, and this was a less, you know, romantic reason, was that we were challenged by our label, and we took the challenge to deliver half of a record that was all in English.
Uh-huh.
And short of translating the lyric poetry of Puccini or Verdi into English, which sounds like Andrew Lloyd Webber, we thought...
And you do mean that in a bad way.
take it however as you want. No disrespect intended, but we didn't want to sound like that. So we thought, how are we going to do... There's a glut of English opera. There's nothing for a period of 200 years where there's anything of note, at least when I say classic opera. So we took some instrumental operatic music and said, why don't we just write our own words to that? So that the ride, for instance, is four or five of Handel's leitmotifs and the words
Wagner's.
That... Wagner's leitmotifs. Over which Tylee and Anne-Marie wrote words describing what happens in the last hour of that crazy, crazy opera.
All right, now, you did say Handel, and in fact we're going to hear something that began life as an excerpt, Tylee, from Handel's Semele. So this is, I mean, you know, this has been performed for hundreds of years, but not necessarily on opera's greatest hits charts, and you've changed the name to Walk. So what's the process here?
The process of actually developing that tune?
Yeah.
Well, we actually were commissioned. We played for a few years at these galas that the New York City Opera did called Opera for All. And they commissioned us to do a couple songs from their season. And they were doing Semele. And we were attracted immediately to a couple songs from that show. It also, you know, filled the need to come up with some English stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a well-known aria, certainly within the
early music community.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it lent itself very well to a new kind of treatment.
So, did you have to change the words?
Yes. Well, there was really two verses in that. A difficult process because it's the poetry of that style is this metaphysical romantic poetry from the day that's it reads like Elizabethan script, you know, and
like the challenge, Elizabethan Andrew Lloyd Webber,
there you are. Take that to mean whatever you like. But the challenge was do you write another couple of verses that sound like that, and I tried and it sounded terrible, or do you try to do something that sounds like what we're trying to do, you know, reference the style of the music we're playing, which sounds more like an Al Green tune, perhaps, or Pretender's tune.
But it is Handel from the opera Semele, and the song is called Walk, the East Village Opera Company. Village Opera Company from their new album called Old School, and naturally that's old spelled with an E at the end. Peter Kiesewalter and Tylee Ross are the co-founders of the East Village Opera Company, multi-instrumentalist and singer respectively. They and the full band are performing a free concert at the Lincoln Center Out of Doors Festival this Thursday evening. The concert begins at 7 with the On Trio, and the East Village Opera Company's on at 8:30. there in the Damrosch Park band shell, and Peter and Tiley with us here in our soundcheck studio. So that, Tiley, is certainly not the only example of creativity on your part in approaching these, you know, old opera arias. At what point does, you know, Peter mentioned you need to have respect for both the worlds of rock and opera. At what point does creativity meet respect and, you know, something has to give?
That's a difficult question to answer because when I first came to this, I really felt like that these songs should be honored in the traditional way that that they were. I think Peter certainly was the force that that moved in the more radical direction, and I think that tension within the band and within the process is something that has been good for us. But we continue to evolve and we continue to grow. So I'm scared actually when I start writing something because you're really holding your work and your creativity. It's you never want to be seen to be saying my work belongs alongside
Mozart,
you know, any of these people. But you know their work belongs to the world now. I mean their music it's public domain work, and I think the only reason that people haven't done these kind of treatments to this, or that we haven't heard a lot of this sort of thing, is that the people who know that music traditionally come from the tradition where there is a really rigid set of rules that must be adhered to, and because we don't come from that tradition, we've never felt the need to be tied to them. That being said, it's really difficult to start working on one of these songs, learn it, love it, and then say, okay, now I've got to change it.
It's a dreadful, daunting thing.
Very daunting.
Peter, Mozart's Queen of the Night opera aria from the opera The Magic Flute. I mean, this is one of the pinnacles of, you know, high soprano singing.
Right.
You have a track on the record called King of the Night. What hath thou wrought?
Well, Tiley sings it, so we changed the perspective of the character singing it, for starters. It's one of those iconic arias that's a real challenge for even the most seasoned of coloratura sopranos. Short of actually getting a coloratura soprano to do it legit on this record,
we said couldn't put Tiley in short, you know, tight shorts.
We just sing it in the key it was written in, but we took out all that coloratura stuff. And gave it more of an approach that I think the emotion of that tune merits. It's a pretty gnarly, nasty thing. It comes from a real viewpoint of poison and anger. And that is the brilliance of Mozart, too, that it's got the lightest and daintiest of accompaniments, and yet the words are just so scathingly putrid.
To hear the original, you would never guess.
So you wouldn't guess, yeah.
Let's do this. Let's hear a little bit of Mozart's original, The Queen of the Night, and then from the East Village Opera Company, their version called The King of the Night. That's Mozart. That's the Queen of the Night, the way opera lovers have come to know it and love it over the course of a couple of hundred years. Now, from the East Village Opera Company and the new record, Old School. Queen of the Night goes to California circa 1966 in that that
Bingo.
Performance.
With a sex change.
King of the Night is the East Village Opera Company's reworking of Mozart's Queen of the Night aria. So Tylee Ross singing, Peter Kiesewalter doing the arranging, leading the East Village Opera Company. Tylee, you mentioned before that for a couple of years now, the New York City Opera has invited you guys to play at their kind of opening gala thing, and you play excerpts from operas that they will in fact be doing. They apparently must like you.
Yeah, the first year we went, we thought for sure that we were being invited so they could kill us, you know, get us locked in their chambers and dispose of our project. But it went really well the first year, and they had us back for 3 years in a row.
So Peter, do you find that operaphiles, genuine opera fans, hear enough of the original to kind of get what you guys are doing?
Well, at least the ones that come and see us and tell us they like it. There are, I'm sure, a great number of opera purists who would not comment, listen to, and loathe what it is we're doing, and they're entitled to that opinion. But the opera people that do come and see this and like it, have a different perspective on it because they know this music so, so well that they get a real kick out of the liberties we're taking with this, maybe more so than the average lay person might. Yeah.
Well, the East Village Opera Company performing a free concert. They're on stage at 8:30 this Thursday evening at Lincoln Center Out of Doors in the Damrosch Park Bandshell. The album is called Old School. It is in stores as of tomorrow. Peter Kiesewalter and Tylee Ross from the East Village Opera Company. Guys, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us in.
It's not from an opera, but from a cantata by Bach, this version of a famous Bach aria sung Freddie Mercury style by the East Village Opera Company.
In senseless races, got a broken heart from loveless faces, freeze your fairy soul. Nobody's gonna bleed a stone.
And we'll finish the show today with a classic of another sort, an homage to soul pioneer Isaac Hayes, who died yesterday at the age of 65. Hayes was found collapsed and unresponsive near a treadmill in his home in Cordova, a suburb east of Memphis. The cause of death is not immediately known, but Hayes had been recuperating from a stroke he suffered 2 years ago. Best known for this song, the theme to the 1971 blaxploitation film Shaft, Hayes had already been a principal songwriter at the legendary Stax Records for nearly 6 years, helping to push that label forward and create the signature sound of Southern Soul. In 1969, Isaac Hayes released the album Hot Buttered Soul, which revealed a new side of black music, with long, dynamic tracks at a time when radio was only interested in quick, catchy singles. Isaac Hayes joined us on Soundcheck in January of last year and explained why those tunes were so lengthy.
What I had to say could not have been said in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So I just stretched it out. I didn't have an idea what's going on, but I just had a feeling.
Isaac Hayes rejoined Stax Records last year after the once bankrupt label relaunched on its 50th anniversary. And since his heyday, Hayes had continued to perform even after his stroke in 2006, and provided the voice for Chef on the cable TV show South Park. Just 2 months ago, Hayes played one of his last shows here in New York to kick off the Celebrate Brooklyn Festival at the Prospect Park Bandshell. Isaac Hayes, dead yesterday at the age of 65. And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, marquee rock acts like the White Stripes and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are getting along just fine without a bass guitar player. In another Soundcheck Smackdown, critics and listeners debate the importance of the bass guitar in rock music. Also, singer-songwriter Regina Spektor plays live for us. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Paul Schneider. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow. We also had help today from Daniel Capalbo. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM, WNYC.